abundantly of right now. And the email address that you would send that request, all we need is your name and your address. How many you would like? There's about 30 of them. So please, if you have a Spanish, I'm talking to my ministers that need the books, or those that are passing out that are Spanish speaking, please, it's s4cbible101@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
s4cbible@gmail.com. s4cbible101@gmail.com.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
She also has just a few of the Hebrew books, Hebrew class books. And I know those are hot. So first come, first serve.
Okay.
Amen?
Amen.
So I wanted to share that. And
okay.
Sorry. Just one more thing. We have a corporate fast every year. February 1st is the date. I'm asking you to look for the newsletter. We will have the guidelines and the calendar and the word focus for this year's fast in that newsletter. But in the meantime, since you now know it's February 1st, clean out those cabinets, prepare your heart, be before the Lord, and prep for this fast. Amen?
Amen.
Let it be important to you. Let it be as though you're planning for the holiday, because it is just that important. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay, we're going to stand. We're going to pray, Pastor Sandy, in, and just thank the, bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this day, dear Lord. I thank you for another day that we could sup together with you in fellowship. I pray over Pastor Sandy, dear Lord. Let this word, dear Lord, burn inside of him, dear Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill him up, dear Lord, to a point of overflow that it reaches each of us that came expecting to hear a word from you today, dear Lord. Amen. Let us all glorify you together. In Jesus'
amen.
Name, amen.
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 Thank you.
They're coming in.
Hallelujah. All right. Leslie, did you guys go bowling last week? Or was that an old
No.
That was last week? Ooh, I saw you.
Some of y'all need some help, but.
But it looked fun. praise the Lord. Are we all ready? I see Pastor Ben. We're ready? Okay, we're up. Now, thank my wife for praying me in. Saturday morning when I woke up, I was having a coffee before Drea came down, and the Lord said he wanted Jillian to give her testimony.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important that you hear testimonies, because they're praises to God, okay?
Yeah.
And so if you're praying about something, they say go in a closet. But if you're praising God about something, they say go on a roof and shout it loud.
Yeah.
So the Lord wanted her testimony to be a part of this message. And so feel free, Jillian, come on up here. Feel free to say, to speak, because the Lord's already worked it out, and whatever you say, he's already made it a part of this message today, okay?
Right.
So let's hear Jillian's testimony, and then I'll be back and we'll get started.
Amen.
Amen. Here you are. You want to pin this on you? Here, I'm going to put it right there.
All right. So there's a lot of faith involved in that, because you've only heard my 10-second testimony. So, but he's given me 10, 15 minutes to give my life story. And so because there's so much that I want to convey, I'm going to read this. And so Pastor Ben, if you could please just kind of tell me like 5-minute markers, that would be awesome. All right. So I'm going to go, because there's so much, I want to also condense it into like bullet points, because pretty much certain things are very self-explanatory and there's no need to glorify Satan. So,
amen.
Yeah. All right. Uh-oh, it's locked up. All right, so here's my 10-second version. So I used to be a homeless, suicidal, drug addicted, murdering, gay prostitute that was kidnapped for sex trafficking, and so I had multiple personality disorders. So I ran away from home because I grew up in an extremely violent home. And I made a very poor decision, and my mother had threatened to kill me. And the family rumor was that my mom had already murdered two of my twin sisters. And so that caused me to run for my life. And that day I was kidnapped for sex trafficking. And then no one ever reported me missing. So I felt extremely unlovable. I had dyslexia growing up, and so I was bullied all throughout school. And so I always felt stupid. And so my entire life, Satan was constantly telling me that I was ugly, alone, damaged, unlovable, worthless, hated, condemned, completely hopeless, and so I should just kill myself. I suffered with guilt and shame, fear, lying, depression, insecurity, jealousy, being overcritical, self-condemnation, pornography, loneliness, unforgiveness, bitterness, not trusting God, not trusting others, isolation, rejection, alcoholism, drug addiction, and eating disorders. Can anyone relate? So due to all of this drama, I always lived with like a victim mentality, and I was a complete hypocrite, and I was willfully sinning every single day. I was told in my 50 years of going to church that if you simply said the sinner's prayer, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. So I was constantly doubting my salvation, and I was constantly having the suicidal thoughts, and there were a few attempts, so I couldn't understand why God kept saving my life. That I should have been one of those people that are mentioned in Matthew 7:22, Lord, Lord, didn't I believe that Jesus died for my sins, past, present, future? Didn't I say the sinner's prayer? I got baptized, and I went to church sometimes three times a week. I sang in the choir, and I fasted, and I prayed. I read the Bible a little bit every day. I tried to obey it, but frankly, I failed about 90% of the time. I cared for the homeless, the widows, the disabled, and those in prison for 17 years. I tithed. I fought for the unborn. I even did an overseas mission trip. I evangelized on the street. I went to Israel, but my biggest regret is how I discipled young teenage pregnant girls with a false doctrine. The church was so impressed with me, but God hated my religious resume. Every day that I was still living in this wicked world, just like they did, so God knew that all I wanted was fire insurance. That Jesus says, unless I wash you, you can have no part of me. I had been hearing demonic voices in my head ever since the age of 6, because that's when the molestation started. And I never experienced any lasting freedom in my life, whether through the church, 12-step groups, doctors, counselors, medications, etc. I've never been married to this day. I'm now 54, because I never felt that I deserved to be loved. So my last suicide attempt was going to be about 4.5 years ago, and that was going to be on my 50th birthday. But then I had remembered a woman who had said, Jillian, it only takes one day to listen to the New Testament Bible. Let the truth set you free. So I praise the Lord that he brought that conversation to mind, because that one day did set me free. Satan's lies were finally exposed when I came across the scariest verse in the whole Bible, and it scared the hell right out of me, and it's from 1 John 3:9-10. It says that no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. I suddenly knew that I was a child of the devil, and it did not matter how many good things I was doing for the church. Satan is using the church to lead millions upon millions of lukewarm believers straight into hell. And people don't want to believe that God's even going to judge our thought life. So you can straighten up your actions, but if your thoughts are satanic, it will lead you to hell. That Jesus told us to take every thought captive and to make it obedient to Christ. Make it obedient to Christ. And it only takes 3 seconds to do that. Simply when I get a thought, I simply ask myself, was that from Satan or was that from God? And it's really that simple, and there are no gray areas.
Right.
That in the moment that I would surrender each of my decisions to God, that I was filled with unexplainable peace that surpassed all understanding every time. If that peace did not come, I knew it was from Satan. So now I no longer ask myself, how close can I get to sin and still be a follower? But in one day, the truth set me free, and now I can understand why Jesus told that adulterous woman, go and sin no more. That verse never used to make sense to me, because I was the adulterous woman. Now I believe everything that the Bible says. Over and over again, Jesus says it is by your faith that you are healed. So 4.5 years ago, Jesus completely freed me from all anger, alcoholism, bitterness, depression, drugs, fear, greed, insecurity, jealousy, loneliness, all four of my personalities, the occult, pornography, rebellion, rejection, self-harm, sex, shame, the suicidal thoughts, stress, unforgiveness, worry, all forms of worldly entertainment. So I don't watch TV, movies, I don't have Facebook, nothing of the world. Now God, who is my great physician, he has also healed me after usually like one or two gut-wrenching prayers, days of prayer. Once I was willing to throw out my medications and refuse to go to the doctors who were speaking death over me, Jesus instantly cured me of breast cancer, osteoporosis, plantar fasciitis, my STDs, severe rheumatoid arthritis, and so many others as they came along. 4 years ago, I quit my job because I wanted to be one of the wise virgins. I know that Satan only needs a tiny foothold. So I read my Bible every day and I evangelize as much as possible. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And we have to love our enemies as ourselves as well. So once I saw my sin for what it truly was, I had no problem forgiving hundreds upon hundreds of people that have abused me. Yes. Oh, 5 minutes. Oh, gosh. Okay. And that if we can't... So if we cannot love those whom we cannot see, God says it's impossible to love him who you cannot see. Did I just...
No.
Okay, I said that right? Okay. Now, if we do not want to worship Jesus now, why would God want to make us worship Jesus forever? So we need to practice now. Now, it can be very lonely to walk this narrow road, but it leads to life and life everlasting. I suddenly realized that probably 200 or 300 of my Christian friends were all lukewarm, and that was extremely heartbreaking. So my heart goes out to the lukewarm church. But I'm no longer willing to gamble my eternal soul to partake in their casual sins that the sin looks the other direction in. So I find my comfort through reading the New Testament every single month, and it only takes 35 minutes a day. Had I only known that like 35 years ago, I would have saved myself so much heartache. But God is able to see the end from the beginning, and so he knew that eventually I would surrender everything and everyone. So since we still have time, I want to go into an example of the Lord's mercy that was upon me, that even when I was in the thick of my hypocrisy. So this is what I call my house story, and God was desperately trying to free me from all materialism and pride. So oftentimes when you get a house, you think, well, now I'm set. You know, you've got a job, you know, that pays a lot. And so God is our covering, and our house, you know, it's just a material thing, right? And so God's our provider, not our job.
Amen.
All right. So this is going to go from the cuff. All right. So I was working at a job for 12 years, and there was a huge layoff. And the day I was let go, I came home to a completely flooded house. So the water heater had busted, and my pride wouldn't allow me to tell others about it. And so the insurance, you know, cut a small check, but I, instead of paying for installers to put in the padding in the carpet, I wanted to get wood that snapped into place, you know, because it's super easy. Not exactly. Okay, so I cleared out all of the furniture, so it was just slab floors. And you put in a piece, you put in the second piece, somehow or another, they're both damaged. So you stick that over in a pile of damaged wood, and how much is each piece of wood? Don't even think about it. Okay, so then, all right, let's figure it out. You do it again, and all day long, the pile is growing and growing. Okay, so I don't have a job. So for 2 years, my pride didn't allow me to tell anybody. One by one, it became a money pit where one thing after another was breaking down. So there's a big giant windstorm. All the fencing was down. So now my security blanket is gone. The deck collapsed. There was a leak in the roof. So every time it would rain, you'd have to fill up this big paint buckets like 4 or 5 times a day. Air conditioner, you can't afford to run that. So you just sweat it out through the summer. And when it was snowing, you just bundle up. Because, you know, I mean, other people live like in Minnesota, and if they can do it, I can do it. So like appliances were going out, just one thing after another. The foundation would shift. And so sometimes I couldn't use the front door, the back door, the side door. The cherry on top was that the trees in the front yard would get into the plumbing, and so I could go sometimes a month or two without a toilet. So I'd have to go to the convenience store several times a day. And so sometimes you would just scream out to God and like, why aren't you answering my prayers? I desperately need you. I know I can't do it, but he wasn't doing a thing. Even when I would start to break down a little bit and share with someone in complete secrecy, he still wouldn't do anything. He wanted me to be completely vulnerable. And so being in this house was a nightmare. So I would always go to the gym, and I would always go to ministries, you know, because they had air conditioner, heating. Plus, there was always a ton of food. So that was awesome. So I ended up going to the pregnancy center. And for whatever reason, not one mother showed up, no children. And so there were 9 volunteers that day. And so they said, well, instead of us going home, why don't we just all pray for each other in the ministry? And usually I'm like the cheerleader of prayer, and I was just locked down that night, and I wasn't gonna open my mouth. And so usually we're there for like 2.5 hours. And so it went into the 3rd hour and the 4th hour as they're going around, and I would say, skip, skip. And so these women were not gonna give up on me. And so I finally just exploded. And I said, fine, you wanna know what my prayer request is? And I lit into them for the last 2 years, and it was all like a crock pot that exploded, right? So I ended up, and all these women are just like, oh my goodness, it's so horrible. But there's this woman sitting directly across from me, and her name was April, and she's smiling the whole time. Okay. I'm not going to go into the thoughts that I had towards that. Anyways, so I finally asked her, I says, what are you smiling about? And she says, well, just last night, my husband and I were praying about how to bless a family because our construction business is going so well. I says, well, isn't that great? I says, I'm not a family. I said, I asked my own church, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Johnny ministry. And they says, well, you're saved. You're not disabled. They had a whole list of criteria, and unfortunately I didn't match any of that. So they said, but you're the family of God, are you not? And I was just like, did you not hear my list? She says, don't worry about it, we'll take care of everything. The very next morning, her husband showed up at 8 o'clock, and I was terrified to open the door. Okay, so he comes walking in, and he's just like, wow, April wasn't kidding. And I was just, shame all over me. And the smell of just mold, and it was just so overwhelming. Okay, so he goes through every room, and he's got his little clipboard, and all of a sudden I hear the doorbell, and I'm like, shh, don't answer. We're not answering. It could be the city. We can't answer the door. He says, no, go answer it. I answer the door, and there's 9 men standing out there. And I was like, what do you want? He says, we're here to help with the house. They all come marching in. They tell me to leave and go to the gym. I come back about 4 hours later, and they're knocking things out in every room. So they fixed my roof, the foundation. They painted everything. They fixed my plumbing. I mean, everything. They fixed every single thing for free. Okay, so now it's been 2 years. I still don't have a job. And so I'm freaking out, and I know I've got to sell this house. But now it looks like Better Homes and Garden. Okay. It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. So I go over to my friend's house every Thursday and stay the night with her. And she lives like an hour away. And so I says, you got to, you know, pray with me, like an all-night visual. I says, we got to find a realtor. I got to get rid of this house. I love it, but I got to get rid of it. And so she's a prayer warrior. And so she's just like faith. She's like, Lord Jesus, I pray that you send a realtor into Jillian's life tomorrow and that she gets that house sold. Amen. And I says, whoa, on your knees all night. I said, I've been praying for 2 years. We need to pray all night. She's like, by faith. I'm like, oh. So I was like really upset with her. So I leave her house the next morning, and about halfway home, my cell phone dies. And I'm like, I can't afford a new cell phone. So I take it into Sprint. They said, have a seat. We'll take a look at it and let you know. This other man comes in. He's a crazed lunatic, and he's got the same problem. His phone doesn't work. And he's sitting across from me telling me, I'm a realtor. I have to have my phone. And I'm like, Now, we're very far from my house, right? So I'm like, whatever. It's just by chance, you know, this some fluke. And so he says, so do you have a house? And I says, yeah. He says, would you ever consider selling it? I says, yeah, I want to look, you know, needy. So I said, no. I said, I just had the whole thing redone. I'd never sell it. And he says, oh, my gosh, come on, please, let me just take a look at it. You never know what you can get these days. I'm like, okay, fine. Why don't you come over tomorrow? So he comes over. Oh, no, let me back this up. So he says, where do you live? I'm like, way out in Louisville. He's like, I've sold like 6 houses this year already in Louisville. What's your intersection? And I said, Old Orchard and Corporate. He's like, oh, what street are you on? And I said, Cedar Ridge. He's like, that's the street that I sold all my houses on. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. And he says, what number? I said, 1319. He says, how many times have I put flyers on your door? I was like, that was you? I was like, okay, yeah. Come on over tomorrow. And so I call my friend. I says, you're not going to believe this. And she says, I believe it. I'm like, this is exciting, right? And she says, whatever. Anyway, so he comes over and he's just like, it's better than I ever imagined. And I'm like, glad you didn't see it last month, you know? And so he says, let me call my investor. He comes over within 20 minutes and he's acting all nonchalant. He's like, yeah. He says, I'll go ahead and put a bid on it, you know, check out the numbers later. He was desperate for my house. Desperate. So he wanted his mother to move into it. It was going to be her gift. And so anyways, so he puts a bid on the house, and then I still don't have a job. And now I don't have a place to live, right? So I'm really freaking out. So then I contact a friend from, a missionary from China, and we were supposed to go work out at the gym. She just flew in. And she used to mentor me for years and years and got frustrated because she saw no fruit. So and at this point, there's still no fruit, right? It was many, many years when I finally surrendered. So she says, Jillian, I had this dream, and you know how prophetic they are. I'm like, yeah. She says, it's not going to make any sense because, you know, I heard the update, how you just got your house done. I says, yeah. I says, there's so much I got to tell you. She says, but let me finish. And she says, the Lord just told me I'm supposed to go back to China next month and that you're supposed to move into my house and you can live there for free. I'm like, let me tell you my news. And so then all the stress is off. I've got all my credit cards paid off. I maxed them all out. All of them. So then I go on an interview, and usually it's a 4-step interview. After the first interview, it went so great because I was no longer like begging, please give me a job. Right? That was over. I was just like, I don't even need a job. You know, if you want me, you know, you're gonna have to like really crank your price up. So I ended up going on the first interview. It went so great. So then they said, let's go ahead and push you through to the next manager. And I was like, oh, okay. And I got pushed to the third and the fourth, and they instantly hired me.
Wow.
I made the most money in that job than I'd made ever in my entire life.
Wow.
So in 1 month, I humbled myself, got my whole house fixed, sold it, paid off all my credit cards, have a place to live for free for a year, and now I've got the best paying job ever. So I don't know who need to hear that, but that covers a lot.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's what God did for me even while I was in the thick of it, trying to show me his mercy. And so if he can do that for a non-believer, a fake Christian, whatever, that's how the faith was just so amazing after I became a true believer just 4 years ago.
Right.
And so it's just, I just never, ever, ever look back. Never. And so when I see people and I pray for them, you know, they tell me their problems, I'm like, that's nothing for God. That's nothing. Yeah. Nothing. So, all right. Do I keep it in 15 minutes? Thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, Jillian's the one you guys saw on the video. Some, a lot of people on my Facebook, she was praying for a guy, a homeless guy, and they were setting her up to see if she would pray for him, who would help the homeless guy. And since she did, they gave her $500.
Yeah,
so God's just all over her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was awesome. Now, see, that is what God is all about, though. That is what God is all about. He is, first he needs surrender, though. You know what I mean? He needs, but before you get to surrender, he doesn't let go of your hand. He's still working things out, getting you to the place where you're ready to begin to walk for him and to walk for him in truth, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me that in her life, she knew she was lukewarm. She knew she, but God knew what? Her history.
Yeah.
The mercy came because God knew the whole story.
Yeah.
God knew from 6 years old all the way to this point. God's like, I know you don't know how to walk for me, but you've had a lot of problems since six. I'm still with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to still keep holding your hand because I know and my faith is that someday you're going to wake up and you're going to really live this and not just, you know, be a confession out of your mouth, but it's going to be a full-time lifestyle, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's a full-time lifestyle. So I want to express that God has done more than any person can do for mankind.
Yes.
Okay? Because you would have to understand the crucifixion and understand what he did just to open the door to the kingdom to you.
Yeah.
Then we all need to know and understand that what the position that you see a person in, it is what you're seeing, but you don't know the whole story. You understand? The whole story is what God saw from the very beginning. So I'm always trying to pray for people to make sure that we don't judge. You understand?
Right, right.
That we don't judge. That we don't say, you're unworthy of heaven because of the way I see that you are.
Mm-hmm.
No. The way that you are is dangerous and it doesn't lead to the kingdom. And I have to tell you that to be honest. Okay, but I need to also tell you that God loves you and his mercy and his grace are upon you and you can change if you want. And I want, because God told me to call Lauren one day. Remember Lauren used to sing here? And he said, tell her this. Now, I hadn't heard from Lauren in a long time and she said, well, what do you want to tell me? You know, she's thinking it's like some doom and gloom prophecy. God told me, you better get it together. And God told me to tell her, when you're not thinking about me, I'm thinking about you. And when you think I've let go of your hand, I want you to know I'm holding your hand even when you're not doing right. And I was like, and she heard the message and she was like, wow, that was incredible, right? And we need to know that God's love and God's mercy is beyond what we believe. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, I ain't encouraging no lukewarm people. I'm saying God's love is strong, but you know, you have to really get to the point. Like Jillian right now is like, I'm living for Jesus, right?
Right.
Praise
Amen.
God. Okay. Now I have to tell you guys this story, and I hope this story don't last too long, because Pastor Ben, you know how he is, the time merchant. So anyway, this morning the Lord gives me this vision, and this family is being let out of a cage like they were in a jail, and they walk out to this beautiful grassy area, right? And I'm looking at this and like, wow, this is really nice. And in the middle of the area is a like a picnic table, and there's all kinds of beautiful foods on it, you know? And I was like, wow, it's all for that family, you know? So they walk out and they see the table, they start eating, and then I hear a voice say from the stands, because it wasn't just a grassy area, it was an arena. And from the stands, there was a king that says, I've forgiven you of your tax fraud, you are forgiven. And they and all the people in the stands start clapping that the king had forgiven them. And so they start eating the food. He has games out there. He said, enjoy your day while we get your home together so you can really be released. So they're out there and they're playing, they're eating, they're enjoying a day with the family. And then this guy comes, I guess in a kind of a helicopter, he drops a rope and he says, grab onto the rope and come out of there. You're not, that's not a picnic area, it's a lion's den. Ooh. They're gonna let the lions go on you. Those people are there to watch you get ate by lions. And the family started saying, no, that's not true. The king has forgiven us. We've been friends. And then the crowd starts saying, hater, hater, to the guy who was letting down the rope. And so they were like, oh, he's just a hater. He doesn't understand the king's forgiven us and prepared this meal for us. So they start enjoying themselves again. And then the guy comes back a little while later and he lets the rope down and he says, grab onto the rope. This is not a picnic area. It's an arena where they feed people to lions. Grab onto the rope. So they still wouldn't. They're having a good time. Then as time went by, one of the little girls that was part of the family went to the side of the wall and she says, I hear animals behind that wall, like, and they're growling. And she said, maybe that guy's telling the truth. And so the guy comes back again and he says, grab onto the rope. That's not a picnic area. It's a lion's den, right? So they grab onto the rope. While they're all being pulled up, they release the lions and they came out and they were safe, right? So when I wake up from this vision or dream, the Lord says, for mankind, this is the last opportunity for them to grab the rope, because they don't know that all of the good things that they think are coming because it looks like a picnic, the financial reset and the church revival that's coming, yeah. All of this stuff, he's like, you got to tell them they're not, this is not a picnic area. What you have set up is falsehood for destruction. You understand? So anyway, the whole time they were calling them Aria Ojuel, which means lion food in Hebrew in my dream. And they were like, what does that mean? And they were saying, it means beautiful family. So they were lying, and I knew in Hebrew that that don't mean... That don't mean beautiful family. I'm like, no, Yafeh Mishpacha is beautiful family. They were calling them Aria Ojuel, but it's like lion food, right? And so, anyway, this is the dream I had this morning. And so if that's not God showing you something, that's God showing you something. So it's like, this is the last opportunity for them to grab the rope and be pulled up, okay? Yeah. Now, I need you to go to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. All right. Here, let me see that. That's the warning card. Okay. Now listen. It says here, and I'm going to start at verse 8. Isaiah 46, verse 8, I'm starting. It said, remember this, fix it in your mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Talking to mankind. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From the far land, a man to fulfill my purpose. That man he's talking about, he's calling, is going to be Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you'll see. It says, what I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. Who is his righteousness? Jesus. He says, I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. And my Yeshua or my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion and splendor to Israel. So what God is telling them is that I've already planned the beginning and I've already planned the end, okay? God knows how this is going to end.
Yes.
He's trying to prepare the world to understand that he's already showed us the beginning, but from the beginning, history is showing us that the end is near.
Yes.
So prepare yourself, because as he created the beginning, he also spoke history, and we've seen history come to pass year after year after year, generation after generation, and the end has already been spoken from the beginning, so there is going to be an end, okay? You can't get comfortable with where you are because they're telling you that everything's going to go back to normal, or there's going to be a great reset. God's like, I've already told you what's about to happen. Okay? Now, let's go to Romans chapter 10. God was saying, look, I'm sending my righteousness into the world. I'm sending my Yeshua, my salvation into the world. For what purpose? So that people can be saved. Anyone can accept Jesus Christ. I love it.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to be perfect. You can be one of the worst people in the world. And I still don't tell you my whole testimony because you guys wouldn't watch me. But you have to understand, people have been through a lot. They've done a lot of things they're now ashamed of because now they're in Christ. It's a lot that has happened. But look where they're at now, proves that God is real. The same way history proves that the guy who wrote the story is running through the whole story, and we're almost at the end, and the whole thing has happened just the way he said, and now we're at the end, and people don't want to believe it. Mm. So they still don't want to grab onto the rope. Okay. Romans chapter 10, and I am in verse 3, okay? And it says, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Who's God's righteousness? Jesus Christ. They tried to have their own way of righteousness. It says, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Yes. You understand that? So look, what he's saying is, there used to be a way for salvation, and it was the law. Mm-hmm. But And that law included 613 laws you had to keep. And if you broke them, you had to take animal sacrifices and all. This was the process of becoming righteous. When Christ came, he ended all of that. And he said, now the way to righteousness is confession of Jesus Christ and belief in what he did for you on the cross. And now your righteousness is in faith, is in your faith in Jesus Christ by grace, meaning that you're receiving it for free. You don't keep it for free. I want you to know that, because imuna means now you're going to be faithful too. You understand? And that's what you have this horrible. I had a horrible Christian life. I got saved at 17. And I used to ask God, why? I'm always waiting for the next bad thing to happen. I know I'm saved. I go to church. Why everything bad is always happening? And the answer to that question was, I go to church. I've confessed Christ, but I haven't stopped sinning. So the Lord God was trying to tell me for all this time, cursing is following you because you have a sin life. I don't care what you say from your mouth. I know what your lifestyle is. And as a parent, I can't buy you a new bicycle if you bring that type of grade home. You understand?
Right.
And so God was being a good parent, like trying to show me I can't bless that behavior.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm a Christian, why aren't things going great for me? Lifestyle, okay? Now, watch this. Verse 5. Moses described in this way, the righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. His righteousness is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, okay, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, because most pastors don't study, even though they know the New Testament is in Greek, that confess with your mouth is an aortis word, which means now to continue confessing for eternity. You understand? That you believe by faith. Faith is an aortis verb, which means I'm going to put my faithfulness in Christ. Yeah. Understand? I just say, my pistos is I believe. My faithfulness is that I stay faithful to him.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And this is going to be continued for the rest of my life, right? So when I came into Christ, I came into a church, someone like yours. It said, now that you've joined the church and you've confessed and you've been baptized, once you're saved, you're always saved and you don't have to worry about anything. And so I thought everybody at my church sins. When I go to the club, they're at the club. You know what I mean? when I mean, they're buying me drinks. I'm at the club. The choir's there. They're buying me drinks.
Wow.
So I'm like, this is just this new group that I've joined, and they're called church people, and this is what we do, right? But I didn't realize that for me to really benefit from a relationship with Christ, I needed to submit me to God. I needed to become a living sacrifice. I needed to pick up my cross and carry it. And all of that part was never preached at my church, okay? It was tithing, your breakthrough is coming if you tithe, right? And that was all, that was 90% of the message. So, from Jillian's testimony, God was holding on to her. Okay, but what she wasn't realizing was that the reason everything was going crazy was because Her lifestyle was still the same.
Right.
And the Bible says cursing follows lifestyle. Yeah. So even though God wants to help you, he's like, I wish I could, but you keep running in the street. Why do I keep getting hit by a car? You keep running in the street. But I'm a Christian. But you keep running in the street. So I'm trying to get you to stop running in the street, and I'll bless you.
Amen. 3 minutes, man.
And so this is what God was trying to show me. Your lifestyle, you can say you're a Christian, but I need your lifestyle to match, okay?
Yeah.
Go and sin no more so I can bless you,
yeah.
Basically, okay?
Amen.
Now, the scripture says you don't have to say who's going to ascend into the heavens and bring Christ down, or who's going to go to the deepest part of the world and bring Christ up. God says it's not that hard. If someone wants to be saved, all they need to do is confess with their mouth. Salvation is on your lips.
Yes.
Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God.
Yes.
You can't say, I believe he's an angel. You can't say, I believe he's a brother of Satan. You can't say, I believe he was a prophet. Because all that is Muslim, Mormonism, and Jehovah's Witness, right?
Right.
All that is, they confess a type of Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
You understand? So that their confession never matches the Bible. You got to confess that Jesus is God who came in the flesh, died on the cross for your sin. And it's not far from any of us. So God has brought his salvation near.
Yes.
It's easy. Okay? Even if you're in a worse position in your life, you can change it by confessing Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like what Robin did, right? He confessed, but watch, this is the thing. He confessed with tears, okay? Mm-hmm. Now somebody's got to teach him this. That confession means nothing if it's not followed up by lifestyle.
There you go.
Right. Right.
Ah! We're all happy he confessed.
Yeah.
God's like, I'm following you now.
Right.
Let's see what you want to do with your lifestyle. Let's see if you want to live for me. Show me that you are taking the steps to live in relationship with me, to not only have faith that I exist, but to have faithfulness in my word and to have faithfulness in who you are now. You understand?
Yeah.
How much time I got, Pastor Dan? Zero?
1 minute.
1 minute, okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shines upon them. So who has blinded them? The God of this world. The God of this world. Listen. The God of this world hates humans.
Yes.
And if you don't know that, then you can listen to any music you want, watch any TV show you want, go anywhere you want, because you don't really believe you're at war.
Right.
You believe that, you know, all this stuff is being provided for you like a picnic. You know, why, look at this. This is, I get all the movies I want. Yeah, 98% of them are rated R. And the others, PG-13 don't mean PG-13 no more. That means you're going to hear some big curse words and some small curse words, but this is still Satan's vineyard.
Right, right.
PG is the used-to-be TV version. So I'm just saying, look, everything's changed. So the God of this world is the one who is trying to influence you.
Yeah.
So, you know the commercial that I hate is this guy, he's walking through the neighborhood and everybody's going, hey brother, how you doing? Hey brother. And then he gets to his mother's house and he gives her a Mother's Day gift.
Yeah,
he gives her a little bottle of whiskey and him and his mother take a shot.
I hate that commercial.
And it don't it look like, oh, just a nice young man.
Yeah.
going to his mother and bringing her a bottle of whiskey, and they're taking a shot together.
Yeah.
Wow. And every, you know, and so you're like, who thought of this commercial? Satan.
Yeah, he did.
I'm influencing you. I'm trying to tell you that this is okay. I'm trying to tell you, here's a beautiful love story. They meet, they go to bed.
Uh-huh.
When did marriage? I didn't see them get married. Hold up. Well, right back. There was none. You know why? Because it's not a qualification for Satan. He's training you that this is how it happens. And so the God of this world is in control of this world.
Yeah.
And his influence is to hide the gospel from you so that you don't see the escape that you have. You understand?
Yes.
If I hide the rope, you won't know there's a rope.
Right.
And so what the world has done, they're hiding Jesus from people. So then when we approach them and we say, hey, there is an escape out of here, they're saying, what rope? And what enemy?
What lie?
Would the king supply all of this beautiful stuff for us if he didn't love us? And you're telling me that this is a lion's den and it's not really a picnic area? I don't believe you. So it's so hard to get to them. Why? They have a deceiver. Now, I said all that to say this. You can't break a spiritual chain with common sense, truth, and scripture in words. You can't change it. You know why? Because they have something blocking it. What's blocking it? That's a spirit. So how are you going to fight a spiritual battle with intelligent words and persuasive thoughts to help you change your life? That's not going to work. So what do you have to do? You have to strategize. This is what Ephesians 6 is all about. Ephesians 6 is, it's bigger than conversation and words. This is a spiritual battle. So I got a friend saved, and man, I thought he'd never get saved. And you know how, someone told me this. They said, stop talking to him. I said, now if I stop talking to him, I'm the only Christian influence he has. He says, how are you praying for him on a regular basis? I say, well, I pray every now and then for him. He said, stop talking to him and just pray that God delivers him from the spirit. So now I was at home and he called me and said, hey, are you going to church tonight? I was like, who is this? So he said, hey, man, I just want to go and see what's going on tonight. You know, we ain't hung out in a while. And I'm like, are you now believing in Jesus? He's like, I just want to go to church. So we went and he heard a message and something had broken him that he now wanted Jesus. So he accepted Jesus Christ that night. I was so happy. I was calling people, said, hey, man, do you know he got saved? Because he was like a musician. You know he got saved? And he was like, who? I was like, he got saved. And he was like, no way. And I'm telling you that to tell you this. Spiritual battles are fought in the spirit.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
God is never forgetting anyone. If you got breath in you, you got a chance.
Because yep.
if God was mad at you, you would not be breathing. Okay? You would be heated in a very hot area if God was really mad at you. So if you're still breathing, that means that you still have a chance.
Right.
That means God still has your hand. He's still trying to lead you into life. He's still like, I'm trying to lead you to this rope because when the lions break loose, I don't want you to be there. So he's trying to help you, you know? So I was just asking the Lord, you know, about, he said, what Jillian has to say is going to mesh with what I have to say. What is it that you have to say? My love for human beings is so far and deep. There's no human being that can really understand it. Because I'll save people that you think are impossible to be saved.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it's going to be a break in the spirit, not your intellectual argument.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be a break in the spirit, not your calling them names.
Right.
Is going to be a break in the spirit because you took time to address the spirit realm.
Yes.
About a human problem. You understand?
Yes.
I have no time for the rest of this message.
Man, I'm so sorry about that.
But it is what God says. I just wanted to say, I was reading Ephesians chapter 2, and it says, for you are saved. It says, by faith you are saved through grace. And then it had an addendum, like, this was added later. Then I was like, was that really added later? And it was. It was added later. So you're saved by grace was added later. And then later it came and said, you're saved by faith, by grace, through faith. But the other one says, you're saved by grace. And then I was like, oh, okay. So God is like, it is never, you're only saved by grace. It has never been, because grace has existed since the beginning. God has had grace for people. You understand? That means a free gift that you can come in and you can get to know God and come into relationship. But emunah, which is the Hebrew word for faith, means faithfulness.
Yeah.
It does not mean you believe he exists, because if it just believe he exists, then a lot of demons are saved.
That's true.
Because they all believe. Even Satan believes God exists.
Yep.
So, but are they faithful to God? Do they keep his word? This is what God is trying to explain. Be faithful to what you believe in. Praise God. Thank you, Jillian, for your testimony today.
Amen.
And you're funny, too. Praise God. Yeah.
Amen. Mm.